Desire your prayers. The Lord will bless us. This afternoon, I have a little thought that deals with something that we all love very much, and that's the church. A little different than what we endeavor to bring out this morning. But I just want to reiterate some of the things that have to do with you and I and the church. The church is it's a body of people that is operated under the Holy Spirit, and it is to be a spiritual church. And I want us to consider a little bit this afternoon about the spirituality of the church. And the reason why we talk about the church, think about the church is really our responsibility. It's really our responsibility, every one of us. We each have a responsibility to the church. It's the body of Christ that's here on the earth. And really, how much should we care for the body, Christ's body? How much should we care for what he has died for? The Bible tells us in Acts 20 and 28, he purchased it with his own blood. He gave his life for the church. We're the church. And it's a blessed privilege to be a part of it. It's a blessed privilege to know the saints, the people of God, to be a part of the church of God. But I believe there's a duty for each and every one of us to be what God would have us to be and what God would have us to do. See, the church is a place where it's a entity. It's a body where people, sinners, are born into the church. Has a lot of responsibilities and has a lot of duties. It's a place of comfort and support that comes from the body, from the people of God. As we care for one another, as we show responsibility to one another. I feel like that we should be seeking from the Lord, every one of us. What can we do to make this successful, to make it operate in a way that others would long for it, be hungry for it? I think we ought to make it attractive, because it's certainly attractive to me. And it's important that to me that the church will always be the church, will always go on, will always prosper, will always have what it needs to be successful. I'm mainly interested this afternoon in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the spiritual gifts that are given to the church. The church is a spiritual body, made up of spiritual people. And you and I really can't be much of a part of it unless we're spiritual. Unless we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And if we're spiritual, may the Lord help us to see our responsibility and our duties as the people of God. The responsibility doesn't fall on just a few. It falls on every one of us. And sometimes we get to thinking, well, you know, somebody else can do things better, and they can pray better, they can preach better, they can talk better, they can do this better and that better and sing better. And maybe that's so to a certain extent. But it doesn't excuse us in our responsibility and our duties to the church. I want us to consider about asking God, each and every one of us seeking the Lord, what can I do to make this thing better? What can I do to make this thing successful? What can I do to make attractive the way that my loved ones, your loved ones, would see, would want this thing? But they're going to have to see it within us, and so I know that it says in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we're not going to read all of this, but it says concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would have you not to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on and he talks about the diversities of gifts and the same Spirit, the differences of administrations but the same Lord, and diversities of operations, but is the same God that worketh all in all. I believe that you and I can work together. If we have the same Spirit, we can work toe-to-toe, so to speak. We can work side by side, and we can see this thing through and see it be successful. There may be different ways that we do things. I was talking to a brother years ago, and I was we was talking about some of this, and I said, you know, you have your way of reaching out to souls and trying to help people to realize they need to be saved, and I have my way of reaching out to souls. The Lord built this church. The Lord knew who to put in it. He knows who to put in it. We just need to have an open heart to be receptive of the Lord's dealings and His workings with us. Because every one of us are important. Every one of us are needful in the church. As I've said here a few times, if man knows how to build a house, the Lord knows how to build a church. Man knows that it takes carpenters and roofers and plumbers and electricians and all those things and drywallers. The Lord knows that it takes different things to build the church of God. And the Lord loves the church. He gave His life for it. He died for it. He shed His blood for it. So it's very important to Him. And how that we handle it is, it falls on us. It's our responsibility and our duty to see this thing as successful and that this thing is going on. And so the Lord, He knows your personalities. He knows our makeups. He knows just who we are. Let's not have these excuses about so-and-so can do so much better than I can. You know, I know that there's gifts that are given in the body. And I know that we make excuses that we can't do this and we can't do that. Think about Moses when the Lord wanted to send Moses. You think the Lord made a mistake? I don't think the Lord made a mistake. He knew what He was doing. And yet Moses made an excuse that he couldn't talk good and all those kind of things. So God gave him Aaron to talk for him. And the Lord knows our makeups. He knows whether we're able to talk and we're not able to talk. I'll give you the fact that it is hard. It is very difficult to stand in front of people and say things and have something to say to encourage them and to expound on the Word of God. But nevertheless, it doesn't fall on just certain people. It doesn't fall on certain responsibilities, but it's all of our responsibilities and all of our duties. And I wonder if we would ask ourselves the question, are we really doing everything we can? Are we really doing our part? Are we really doing what God wants us to do? Because it says here there's diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. The Lord has many different gifts that He gives to the body of Christ. It's spiritual, the spiritual gifts and the spiritual body. But the Lord has different gifts that He gives, but it says there's the same Spirit. And there's differences of administrations, but the same Lord, diversities of operation, but the same God, which worketh all in all. The Lord knows all of these things. I think about the different responsibilities that are given in this chapter. And I pray that, I ask you, especially our young people, I ask you to read this and maybe reread it prayerfully and consider the things that the Lord may have for you to do. I think about David, King David. Remember King David? He went out there and he faced the giant, and the Lord blessed him, gave him courage, gave him grace. But before he faced the giant, he faced the bear and he faced the lion, and he was successful in those things. The Lord gave him into his hands too. We don't start off on the ground floor. We don't claim to know it all. We don't claim to understand it all. We don't claim to have the ability to be able to handle everything that may come down the pike. But the Lord has wisdom for us. Any man need wisdom, let him ask from God. There's things that we can ask from the Lord that will supply the needs that maybe that we have in order to be successful in doing things for the Lord. I want to see the church prosper. I want to see the glory of God come down and be in our midst. And I want to see the Lord bless us. I want to see the Lord save souls. I want to see the Lord heal bodies. I want to see the Lord do the things that we need done here and in the church itself. So may the Lord bless us this afternoon. David, he went out and remember when Saul was wanting, he didn't have any armor and he was going out to meet the giant. And Saul wanted him to put on his armor and David put it on. And then David took it off. You see, he didn't start on, you start on the ground floor. You don't start on the top floor. You don't start slaying your giants right off the bat. You start slowly. And the Lord deals with you and he works with you. And so he took it off and he said, I have approved this armor. But you know, there was a day that when David did prove that armor and David was able to put that armor on and went out and fought his battles. And that's the way God wants to work with each and every one of us today. He wants to supply the needs that we have in order to prosper the church, prosper souls, and be a blessing. And he wants to use you to do it. He doesn't want so-and-so to do it. He wants you to do it. He wants you to be faithful and you to seek the Lord and you to get, David might have put on armor. It might have been fresh at one point, but there came a time when he got a few chinks in that armor when he went out to battle. And you got to learn that when you put on the armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God, and fighting against the wiles of the devil, you're going to have some chinks. You're going to have a few dents and things in your armor as you go along life's way. But the Lord wants to use you, and he wants to bless you and make you a blessing to the church. So I want to pick up here in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. There's many of us members in here today, but yet there's one body, and it's the body of Christ. And that's what we're promoting. That's what we're looking to today as the body of Christ. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And then it goes on and it talks about the foot, and it talks about the hand, and it talks about the eye, and it talks about the nose, and all those different kind of things. You know what discernment is? Discernment is this thing right here. It's discerning what is right and what is wrong. What's discerning what is the good spirits and what is the bad spirits. It's discerning the things that you need to understand to help you along life's way, to make you a blessing and to the church. It said if the whole were the, verse 17, if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, everyone in the body, as it pleased him. We have our own ways. We have our own personalities. But yet God has set members in the body as it pleased him to glorify him, to glorify the church, to promote the church, to make it a blessing to each and every soul that he can. Now I want us to read the 28th verse. I want to get there in a minute. So he talks about the different members that are in the body. I want you to just take it home and read it. And I won't take time to do that this afternoon. But there's different members, and we all have a purpose, and we all work together. We all have the same spirit. We all have the same burden. We all have the same desires. We want to see souls saved. We all should want to see souls saved. That ought to be our greatest desire in living for the Lord, is that we see souls saved. So down in here, and even it even talks about how we work together in the 26th verse. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We're kind of connected, aren't we? We're kind of workers together. Paul said, he said it like this, we're workers together with God. And we kind of work together with these things. But the whole idea is to promote the church, to lift up Christ here in this lost, this terrible world that we live in today. It's so important that Christ be lifted up and exalted. People see him, whether they want to accept him or not, that's their choice. Whether they do it or not, but it's your and I's duty and responsibility to lift Christ up. It says, now are ye the body of Christ, in verse 27, and members in particular. We're all important. We're members in particular. You're important. I'm important. Important to God. We're important to the Lord. We're all members in particular, and God has set some. Now I want us to notice here that Apostle Paul puts things in an order, what I feel is of importance. What's important to the church. One thing that we have to remember about a gift is given to an individual, not for that individual, but for the church. That the church would prosper, that the church would be blessed, that souls would be encouraged and be edified. He gives those gifts for others, not for yourselves. Because this is not a selfish way. It's not a selfish church, but it's to promote Christ. So he says, God set some in the church. These are the gifts that he's put in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles and gifts, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of hearing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more perfect way, an excellent way. I want to say that I believe, this is what I believe. He set some members in the body, in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers. Those are the people that have exercised themselves in ministering to others verbally, preaching the gospel, teaching the word. In the day that you and I live in, and this is important for us to understand. In the day that you and I are living in, about the only gift, about the only real gift that God is giving today is the gift of prophecy. Because this is a time when people are so far, so close to the world and so far away from God that God must give the gift that will benefit the church in supplying the needs that the church has and helping people to understand and realize that they need God more than anything in the world. And it's important here. He says, first apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers. Then after that, there's other things that are given in the body. And we need them all. We have some people will say, well, you're a minister. How's come you don't have this? And how's come you don't have that? Well, we need them all. We need everyone. You don't just look on one individual and expect them to have all the responsibility. It's all of our responsibility. It's all of our duties to have this responsibility to carry these things. When the church is at a low ebb, and I'm going to say it a different way, when the faith of the people, when the church is at a low ebb or a low tide, about the only thing that's going to be successful is the gift of prophecy. And the gift of telling and encouraging people, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to come to, and so forth, in those kind of ways, that God can bless the church and that he can promote himself and lift it up and make it be visible to what he wants it to be here in the world. The prophecy, teachers, after that, miracles. I want to say something about the prophecy, the preachers and the teachers here. In the Bible, it talks about, let me see how I want to say this, anointing. Anointing is so important in the church of God. You and I have a responsibility to live in a way that God will put his approval upon our life. That's really what anointing is. His approval on what you and I are doing. His blessings upon that. And it's important that we have that anointing. Now, when it comes to preaching the Word of God, you are preaching to the church, you're preaching to sinners, you're preaching salvation, and it takes the anointing of the Spirit of God in order to get that message out to the people. The anointing is what takes the word that is spoken from the pulpit and is ministered to the people, they take it into their hearts, and it begins to work and have its way in their life, if they'll let it. There's a high anointing on the preaching because of that. There's many times, not necessarily here, but many times in places that I've been in other parts of the world, sometimes when you're standing preaching, you're going to be preaching to different types of spirits. There's going to be spirits of lust. There's going to be spirits of envy, all kinds of spirits. And think of the world that you and I are living in today. Just think of the drugs and the lifestyles that people, they call it lifestyles that people have today. And the things that you and I come against when we're preaching the unadulterated Word of God. You need the Lord's holy anointing upon that. You need the power to break the spirits that people have in their hearts. It's the anointing. It's the Spirit of God that breaks those spirits down. And the minister needs to have that kind of anointing upon his life. There's more anointing upon that than there is upon the teachers. It's just the way it is, because the teachers they have another responsibility. The Bible tells us about the unity of the Spirit until we all come to the unity of the faith. The teachers are to bring you and I to the unity of the faith. The teachers are the ones that teach the church, the duties, the responsibilities, God's love, God's goodness, and all these kind of things. It's his duty or her duty to teach the people, to bring them up to a level of unity of faith that we can all see eye to eye, work together, and glorify God in that way that we can be one in Christ. And that's the teacher's responsibility, isn't it? And it says here, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that, the miracles, the gifts of healing, the helps, governments, diversities of tongues. We need them all. Are we lacking in this morning, this afternoon? Do we really have, do you see the gifts at work in the body? The gifts that ought to be at work in the body? I don't see the gifts that's working like they ought to be in the body. I think there's some people maybe possibly letting God down, not doing what God would require them to do. It says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And you notice that after he says that, he tells you, covet earnestly. Now, it's not right to covet. We're not supposed to covet things and desire other people's things. But when it comes to the spiritual gifts of the body, you and I are to covet those. We are to desire those. But he goes on as soon as he has said that, he goes into the next chapter. And he talks about love. The gifts that are in the body, the gifts that we exercise, are all to be handled with love. All to be handled with a concern of souls, other people's, their souls in mind, their souls at heart. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I can be one of the best ministers or preachers you ever heard. But if I don't have the love of God in my heart, if I don't speak the truth in love, and I don't minister in love, the words that I say are expressed to your heart, it's not going to do any good. Instead, I am become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And you know, this is one of the prayers that we pray. We ask the Lord, Lord, help our ministers. Help us down, you know, it's the way people are. We do things over and over and over and over and over, and then we start taking things for granted. Like, you know, I can handle this, I can do this, and I can do that. But when it comes to handling the Word of God, it should always be something fresh. It should always come down from God out of heaven. It always needs to be portrayed in a light where people can feel the love. As a nurse, Paul said it in one place. He said, as a nurse cherisheth her children, it ought to be ministered that way. Every one of you is very important to me. Every one of you is very important to God. And even though that we have the gifts, folks, we don't have them unless the Spirit gives them to us. The only way we can get them is, I didn't ask the minister to be a preacher. But if you covet those gifts, he said, I'll show you a more excellent way. You must use these gifts no matter what gift you may have. You may have more than one. You may just have one. But I think there ought to be some talents. I think there's some talents right here that God wants to use in a greater way. We have a young sister here that came in the congregation and we asked her if she would lead the singing, and she's exercising herself with the talent that the Lord has given her. That's good. That's good. That's real good. Because God wants us to be a blessing to Him. And while you're being a blessing to Him, you're being a blessing to us. We're being a blessing and a help to one another. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. All of this is work, faith. Everything that we have is works by love. The Bible says faith worketh by love. And if I don't have charity, and if we don't exercise ourselves in this way, in caring for souls, as heart reaching out, carrying the burden, carrying the need, carrying the concern for others, and if we don't have charity, folks, it ain't going to profit us a thing. So may the Lord help us this afternoon. I want to see the church prosper. I want to see the glory of God come down on us. I want to see Him minister to us. And I'm enjoying what we have here, but I think it could be greater. I think it could be more. I think the Lord wants to use you. whoever you are. He wants us, he wants prayer warriors. He wants people that will work and will labor for him. He wants people in his service. He wants people that will be willing to fight a few fights. Stay in the battle until the battle's won, the victory's won. He said here, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So I just wanted to just bring the idea or the thought to your minds this afternoon about the church and how important it is, how blessed it is. And it's our life. It's who we are. This is who we are. We want to see it prosper. We want to see it grow. We want to see it develop. It's going to take you. It's going to take every one of us working together. This body working together by that which Paul said every joint supplieth. What are you supplying? What are you seeking God for? You know, we get so busy sometimes praying to the Lord. Lord, you see this problem I got. Lord, you see that problem I got. You know, what about his problems? What about his church? What about promoting that? Let's take a little time and say, Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do to make myself a blessing to others? That you might be glorified and be honored in my life. That I may be more pleasing in your sight. A responsibility to us, isn't it? A duty to us. The church is so important, folks. Lord, help us to see how important the church really is. When a woman, you take a young woman that's going to have a baby, and she finds out it's a girl, it's going to be a girl, or it's going to be a boy, they go home and they paint up the room, and they get the rooms all fixed up, you know, and the bed, and if it's a boy, they paint it blue, and a girl, they paint it pink, and so forth, and all that. They get ready for the child. That's what we want to do for those that are lost. Those that don't understand what you and I understand. Those that are hurting, the blind, the maimed, the poor. Those that are suffering out there in this God-forsaken world that we live in today because of sin, because of wickedness, because of evil. We want to present a place that's fixed up. We want to be workers together here. If it's a woman that comes in here, we want to paint it pink and we want to invite them in and we want them to feel welcome. We want them to feel blessed. If it's a man, we want him to come in and we'll paint it blue if that's what you want. We just want to promote Christ. We want to be a blessing to the Lord. We want to see this thing prosper. We want to see this thing grow forth. And it's all of our responsibility. Please don't forget that. It's your responsibility. It's all of our duty to be what God would have us to be. We stand up in here on a Wednesday night, and we thank the Lord for this, and we thank the Lord for that. And that's good. What are we doing for the Lord to make this thing go forth? Go forward and prosper and make it a blessing to others. The duty and the responsibility falls on us. It doesn't all fall on the minister. It doesn't fall on the teacher. It doesn't all fall on any one individual, but it falls on us. You're part of the church. You were born into it. It's now your family. We have the family of God, and we thank the Lord for it. But folks, if you like something well enough, if you want something bad enough, you're going to work for it. You're going to labor for it. You're going to be willing to do what God would have you to do. It's a spiritual church. And you know, I want to point out something else before I say it. When we talk about preachers and we talk about teachers and we talk about gospel workers and so forth, there's a man in the Bible and his name was Agabus. Have you ever heard of Agabus? Agabus is mentioned a couple of times, and one time he's mentioned, it never did say that he had a pulpit ministry. Never did say that he actually preached the word. But he told the people one time, he said, there's a famine coming, didn't he? And he said it's going to come at a certain time. And so the people believed him because of his life, because of the authority God had given him. And they accepted it and they respected him and they got ready and they got the things together that was going to be needed. And sure enough, the famine came. Agabus, the man that was used by God. Lord, whatever way that I can please you, whatever way that I can serve you, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want your hand on me. I want you to bless me. May the Lord bless each and every one of us today. Be filled with the Spirit. Paul is so emphatic about that. Walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. If we're filled with the Spirit, we won't fulfill this old flesh, but we'll have a hunger and a thirsting and a desire to please God and to honor Him with the life that He's given us. Amen.